20th of February, 3:04. And committee secretary, please call the roll.
Representative Donovan?
Here.
Representative Kubina?
Here.
Representative Masick?
Here.
Representative Sanders?
Here.
Representative Porter? Vice Chairman Roper?
Here.
And Chairman Cott?
And I'm here. We do have a quorum, and on today's agenda, we have confirmation hearings of both the commissioner designee of Department of Commerce, William Hensley, and our commissioner designee of the Department of Labor, Tom Cashman. And your indulgence, since we do have Commissioner Hensley in Anchorage, he's on the teleconference line, I'd like to turn to him first. And Commissioner Hensley, can you hear us okay?
You're breaking up a little bit, Ms. Chairman.
Okay, how about now?
That's fine.
That's that speech impediment that I have. We have the members present, and if you would, just start off, I suppose we could say this is kind of like a job interview to some degree, and if you would,
okay.
Tell us why you think that we should confirm you as the commissioner of the Department of Commerce.
And,
Commissioner, I might, excuse me just a moment, I might preface that by indicating that we do have a copy of your resume.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I was there the other day, as you know, and was prepared to speak at that time. I was invited to be Commissioner of Commerce by the governor, after his election. And, Mr. Chairman, I have spent most of the last 20 years engaged in business of one sort or another with my former job with Nana Corporation. And even though I wasn't particularly trained in business initially and didn't really expect to spend my life doing business, that's basically what I've been doing since 1975. And and one of the reasons I enjoy this department so much is because it covers a wide spectrum of activities, in economic development, in tourism, in trade, in forestry, in the regulatory functions of our commerce. And it kind of tracks along with the job that I used to have, where we, in fact, were engaged in some fairly significant businesses, and also some very small ones. And as an example, I cut my teeth in business doing a solid waste and sewage treatment project in Prudhoe Bay, which was a multi-million-dollar project. One of those deals, in a way, talking about a partnership, that's sort of what it was. It was a partnership between the state, between the oil industry, between the North Slope Borough and Nana Corporation, when we designed and constructed a solid waste plant and a sewage treatment plant and a water reservoir. And then later on, we got involved in tourism because of our hotel in Kotzebue. We also got involved in tourism at Prudhoe Bay. We inherited the business, actually, and we've been in it all these years, where we take care of tourists that come up the highway and also fly into Prudhoe. We more or less take the load off the industry there and provide the tours for the people there. And we've also been engaged in some other businesses that are smaller but important to people who use a service, some of which we ran as a pretty much almost like a nonprofit, in the sense that we didn't expect a lot of return. But we operated three bulk fuel storage facilities in three of the villages up north. And we had, we got some idea of the difficulties of trying to engage in that kind of enterprise because of the new rulings on the environment. Also, we got involved in contracting along the pipeline of service companies in the food service business, in the janitorial business, and we also invested as a bidder on some tracks on the North Slope about 20 years ago in the Beaufort Sea. So we had a chance to experience, from the initial investment, you know, to actually going through the whole permitting processes, you know, in a development, you know, offshore, and then capped by our experience in doing the Red Dog project, which, you know, was about a 10-year effort, you know, from idea stage to completion and operation, but we lived through that entire experience, you know, of trying to piece together a major project with major hurdles in terms of financing, in terms of the environment, in terms of local hire. And so it's because of, I think, those experiences that Governor Knowles was aware of that and he thought that I might be of some service, you know, to the state, and that's essentially why I accepted it, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. Are there any questions that any of the members of the committee have for the commissioner designee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I ought to say at least one thing, that I think we're real fortunate that people of the caliber and the experience that Mr. Hensley has would agree to come in and work for the government. I mean, it's a real sacrifice to people. I mean, as all of us here who are elected to know, it's a sacrifice. You do a certain amount of sacrifice to come and do this kind of job. And I know that somebody of his experience and caliber certainly does the same thing. You give up a lot, family, your life, your friends, and I just want to thank him very much for accepting the job and look forward to working with him for 4 and maybe even 8 years.
Thank you, Representative Cabina. Representative Roberg, did you have a comment or a question?
Mr. Chairman, the Mr. Commissioner Hensley, as I mentioned previously, I'm strongly going to support your confirmation. And however, in order to make sure that everything is clear, I'm curious that all the given your legal history with United Bank Alaska and the resulting legal action revolved around that corporation's disillusionment, can you say that everything is entirely cleared up there and you're satisfied that that's all behind you? And this is not meant to be a hostile question. And I just want to make sure that everything's behind you on that.
Oh, you bet, Mr. Chairman. In fact, that's, I guess, one of the sad things of in my own life, anyway, because I was very proud of being, you know, one of the founders of the bank at that time. As you may recall, getting loans in, you know, outside of the urban areas was very difficult. And many... I think of the existing bankers at that time weren't aware of the potential out there, and it wasn't an easy process trying to, if you were a business person, to secure a loan. And but you know, of course, you live and learn. And I think most of the enterprises over the years that I've been a participant in have been successful. You know, in that case, it wasn't. You know, we offered a plan that could have kept the bank going, but the FDIC chose to do other things. In the meantime, yes, there was litigation, but that's history, and it's been all resolved. And you know, there were many, many institutions that failed, financial institutions that failed at that time. I think none of us would have preferred to fail if there was a way out. And many people got caught up in the subsequent litigation. I was one of those. But that's pretty much history now.
Thank you, Commissioner. Additional questions or comments from committee members? Commissioner, I have just a couple. And if you don't know the answer at this point, that's fine. I know it's still pretty early, and you probably haven't got your feet wet with some of these issues. But specifically, can you address tourism and what you hope to accomplish during the next 4 years in promoting Alaska?
Okay, that's one of the reasons I'm up here. As a matter of fact, I've been talking to a variety of people in the private sector about not only tourism, but trade and economic development, and you know, trying to get a better feel for where we're at there. And in my mind, you know, tourism is an area that has great potential for Alaska. You know, we've experienced it firsthand in my hometown over the years since I was a boy. I see it from really sort of the grassroots, because I know what, you know, a few hundred people in a summer could mean in terms of, you know, business activity in a small community like that. We're like at the tail end of the massive migration of tourists into Alaska. We only get 7,000 to 10,000 a year, or at least a season, you know, in Kotzebue. But then, you know, that keeps a lot of people working at the hotel, on the ground tour, you know, at the museum. We're trying to expand it to the interior of the region through smaller tours to the villages and up to the sand dunes. We're thinking about expanding it to the Red Dog Mine. But what I'd like to see in terms of a direction is not only, you know, continuing to try to increase the number of tourists, but, you know, continuing to try to expand the length of the tourism seasons, but also to try to, you know, work with communities and businesses that are sort of out of the main trail, so to speak. You know, there is more interest in tourism as an economic activity than there used to be, but I think part of our job is to try to work with those communities and enterprises to create some new attractions that would be an addition to our existing tour system, and also in trying to work with the major tour groups to see if they can help in terms of advice, and also trying to feed, you know, those communities, you know, more tourists.
As a follow-up, what would you say was your particular relationship with the Alaska Visitors Association or the Tourism and Marketing Council? And what do you see your role as a commissioner with those two entities?
On that score, you know, the way that the structure was set up, you know, prior to my time, but I see it as a partnership, where we would, you know, the governor actually appoints, I think, about half the members, so it's got to work in a partnership fashion. That doesn't mean we agree on everything, but, you know, we're trying to maximize Alaska as a destination, you know, by tourists, and our plan is to work, you know, cooperatively with them along those lines. And part of my notion is that, you know, since tourism is such a major factor in terms of employment and economic activity, that you know, the governor's office, my office, you know, need to interact, you know, with the key players in the tourism business, and that's what we intend to do.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because I think it's extremely important to develop that good relationship with those two entities and promote the state. The other question I have, Commissioner, is in a very brief conversation 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked a little bit about the marine pilotage situation here in the state. Do you have any suggested changes at this point in addressing that particular matter?
Not just yet, Mr. Chairman. I've been getting familiar with that area. I've met with you know, several individuals who represent marine pilots. You know, my understanding is that we have less than 100 marine pilots, but they take up a rather extraordinary amount of time. And my understanding is that the marine pilot groups are meeting together to try to figure out how we can maybe work more constructively together. My feeling is that, and I've said it before, I think as a state we can't take a laissez-faire attitude about pilotage, because there are, you know, jobs, not only jobs, but lives and property involved in this industry. And I also think that whatever system we set up has to be a system that accommodates growth in commerce. In the event that there are additional mining activities, perhaps, you know, in the event that, you know, the gas line becomes a reality, perhaps, you know, I think in those events, you know, we need a system that can accommodate growth. And I think we have to make certain that you know, if we're going to provide immunity, that the people engaged, you know, in the business of pilotage need to, we need to be assured that the training aspect of it is, you know, is something that we're all comfortable with. And those are some of my observations, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. In that light, would you suggest then that perhaps the state should have a greater, place greater emphasis on oversight or more decentralization?
Well, I think that we need to have some fairly fairly specific role in our oversight of that industry. And you know, I'd like to feel comfortable that if we didn't, that it could function adequately. But at this point, you know, my sense is that we need to, you know, play a fairly active role.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further questions by Representative Roper?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Hensley, can you tell me, mostly from my education, what type of taxation and what the amount of revenue generated by taxes on the insurance industry in the state of Alaska is?
Oh, you know, I don't have that material at my fingertips, Mr. Chairman. But it is that we do bring in a fairly significant amount of revenue from the insurance industry. And I don't have those figures right at hand, though. We can get that for you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner. I just have one final question, if there's an opportunity here for you to answer it. Can you tell me what the department's involvement is at the present time in the development of the AJ mine here?
Well, this is something I've just been mulling about today, because the way I see it, you know, there is some significant opportunity in terms of employment, not only at that mine, but there's a variety of mines that are in various stages of, you know, of development. And the one at AJ and the associated mines over at Kensington and I think it's Joellen, I can't pronounce it exactly, but they're adjacent to one another. I really think that there's a real opportunity to diversify the economic base there, you know, in the Juneau area. And we have a mine mineral specialist that's been following it, and I've had several meetings, a couple of meetings with Echo Bay, the developers, trying to understand the project in more detail. And I really believe that, you know, as a regulatory agency, that the state needs to do everything possible to make sure that companies that spend the kind of money they're spending to make a development have an opportunity to have a fair hearing, you know, on the environmental aspects of the mine. And to me, there should be every effort made to help resolve problems that might crop up, you know, as this project is being developed, because it is important that that Alaskans have the opportunity to work, and we need to let companies like that know that we're, you know, we're there to try to facilitate the development and that we want their investment. And I think there's some critical times ahead on that project, and hopefully the Corps of Engineers and the EPA will, you know, will help resolve the water discharge problems that are associated with AJ.
Thank you. Are there any final questions or comments that anyone has here on the committee for Commissioner Hensley? Commissioner, I see no additional questions or comments, so on behalf of the committee and myself, I want to thank you for being with us today. We spoke toward the latter part of last year, and I'm still of the same opinion as I was then, that the governor has made an excellent choice in designating, appointing you as the commissioner. I think you have the background and knowledge to take the department forward. And I have a lot of high hopes for the department during the next 4 years. So again, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the hearing, and I'd like to thank Representative Cabina for his kind words earlier.
Thank you. Have a good afternoon there in Anchorage.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That completes the confirmation hearing for Department of Commerce Commissioner Hensley, designee. Comments? Representative Cabina?
Chairman, what's your intention on these? Are you going to submit a letter of transmittal similar to before, of just saying it's before the body, or are you going to submit something with a recommendation on whether to confirm or not to confirm?
It will be basically the same format that was done to the earlier appointees or board members slate. Mm-hmm. There is a disclaimer here that this does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions for the purposes of confirmation. If you want to make any noted comments, I'm sure we could take those into consideration.
I guess my question was if there was a desire, I don't know, I'm thinking back the way I guess we did it when I was here before, and we made a recommendation on people, and the reason we did so is I thought the committee hearings were in essence for that, to have a hearing and then make a recommendation just like we do on a bill of whether to, you know, whether the committee recommends this person for the position or not. Is this the plan? Is this the plan for all the committees, just to do it this way? And if so, I'll just shut up.
It's my impression that all of the committees are acting this way. This was the process that was used during the 18th legislature.
Yeah.
So it's just a form letter signed that we have had the opportunity to address the particular matters with the commissioner designee. Again, it doesn't indicate any intent one way or the other. I'm not going to bind you.
Okay.
So your comments at this point, if you want to make them, will be taken and put on the record. If you want to vocally oppose or make some formidable positive comments on any of the appointments, you're certainly welcome to do so. Representative Elton.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, I think that the committee process is extremely important as we review the commissioner's designee for the different departments, because this is the one opportunity we have for dialogue with the commissioners, and that opportunity is not going to be available on the floor. So I guess for the record, I would like to indicate my support for this nomination. I mean, clearly I'm somewhat intimidated even by looking at the resume and listening to his discussion of his past. I don't think that we can find too many people that have that kind of a background that are willing to come to Juneau and serve at, I'm sure, a substantially less salary. So I would like to put it on the record that I'm an avid supporter of this nominee, and with that would move circulation of the letter that we forwarded the body.
There is a motion. Before we entertain that motion, Representative Roper.
Well, I just want to reflect the comments of Representative Elton and say that I would, when this nomination comes on the floor, I'm going to strongly favor it and vote for it.
Representative Massett.
I've got no comment at this time.
Representative Sanders.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've worked with and watched Commissioner Hensley for about 15 years through NANA. I have a lot of friends in NANA who have worked with him. And through United Bank Alaska, at one time for a period of 7 or 8 years, they were my bank, and I dealt with him. And I think, looking at the fact that there's very little chance that Tony Knowles is going to submit us a Republican, I don't think that we could find a more capable or dedicated man in this state to take this position, and I intend to vote for Commissioner Hensley.
Thank you, Representative Sanders, and I would completely be in concurrence with your remarks that I don't think you're going to get the governor to reconsider and submit a Republican. So, and I spoke with Commissioner Designee Hensley back in December. I have not had any personal relationship with him, but looking over his background and the brief discussion that I have had with him seemingly would indicate that he's very, very well qualified, and all I have is his resume. And looking over the resume, there's absolutely nothing that stands out that would stand out in the negative. He has some very, very good attributes, and like I mentioned to him, I have some high hopes for the department during the next 4 years. I think he's got what it takes to move forward in that area. Further comments? If not, there was a motion to move the letter, to move the letter of endorsement or non-endorsement, depending on how you look at it.
Letter of ambiguity?
Ambiguity.
I should have saved that motion for you, Representative.
Without further ado, I will circulate the letter for the Commissioner Designee of Commerce and Economic Development.
Now let's get to the real issue here.
And Commissioner Designee Kesham, you have seen how this committee operates. You've had the benefit of sitting there on the sidelines for about 25 minutes, so if you would, step up to the microphone. And we will now take up the confirmation hearing. Commissioner Designee Tom Kesham, hopefully the new Commissioner of the Department of Labor. So, Commissioner, if you would proceed and tell us all the reasons why we should confirm your nomination.
It's always my luck to follow somebody like Commissioner Hensley. My resume isn't quite as impressive as his, but when I talked to Mr. Rose, he wanted me to send a talking about this job originally, he wanted me to send a resume in. I said, based on my resume, you probably wouldn't get me hired to much, but I'll fill out a one-pager. I see Representative Covina's got it already. So, I think I was born in Alaska. I'm a fourth generation Alaskan. My ancestors came here as miners in the 1880s. I've worked in Alaska all my life, except I've been a mechanic, a laborer, an electrician. I've worked in Alaska since I joined Laborers Local 942 in Fairbanks in 1953, and with the exception of three-year hitch in the Marine Corps, I've worked in Alaska since that time. So I think I've got the experience and the maturity to be a good commissioner of labor. I think it'd be it's a good way to end a career. So I'm excited about the job.
Heard the commissioner's opening remarks. Are there questions from the committee members? Representative Cabina?
Well, Mr. Chairman, don't let, I hope that the Commissioner Cashin doesn't let Willie Hensley's resume intimidate him at all, because I think what we're looking at here is a working man's resume, and one that he should be very proud of. Probably the one person in my life that really stands out as a great man in this country is a guy named George Meany, who is a working man. I think also maybe his resume at this point in his life wouldn't have been that long, but I think he did great things for our country. And I look at Tom Kesham as being a longtime Alaskan. I mean, four generations, there's not many of us. I don't know if any of us in here that can say that. A commitment to this state that's been here for a long time. And anyways, I just want to say that I'm just as excited about Tom Kesham serving as a commissioner as I am Willie Hensley.
Thank you, Representative Pia. Representative Roper.
Commissioner Kesham, I was just curious whether you you knew my father, who retired from 1547 in 1973 after about 20 or 30 years of pulling wire all over Alaska. Mel Roper worked for the City Electric for a number of years.
I've heard the name. I have never worked for him. I worked mostly in Southeastern, except for few forays to the slope and to the, on the pipeline and on the platforms and jobs like that, but I didn't make a connection with the name, but sure familiar.
That's probably a good thing. He was a tough guy to work for. Yeah.
Probably run me off. Huh?
You're right.
Additional questions from committee members? Representative Elton?
I mean,
comments?
The commissioner has noted that he's excited by the job, and I mean, he's somewhat self-effacing. I can tell you as a member of the Juneau community that he has put down past public service, like member of the Juneau Planning Commission, member of the Juneau School Board, hasn't expanded upon, I mean, the many years of commitment that he's had, not just to the people that he's worked with, but the people that he hasn't worked with in this community. I think that there's probably no better indication of what kind of a public servant a person is going to be than looking at what kind of a public servant they've been in the past. And I can tell you that the members of this community certainly know what his past record has been in public service. And I think they're as excited about this as I am, and I think we all should be as excited about his ability to do the job as he is.
Thank you. Representative Roebuck.
Commissioner Cashin, would you be so kind as to try to help me understand some of the problems relating around the local hire issues? I know we've got some constitutional problems there, and I recently had a conversation with one of the presidents of the oil companies about some of the service workers up in the service companies on the North Slope and the level of outside employment they had and so forth. And I know Lyndon Johnson used to call it jawboning, you know, but other than jawboning, is there anything the state can do legally, given the legal environment, about providing jobs for more Alaskans up there?
As you know, Representative Roebuck, the legislature has tried for years to craft local hire legislation that would stand up in court, and every time they do it, it works for a couple of years until somebody takes it on, and they try another one, and the courts always take the position that you can't discriminate for residency any more than you can discriminate for anything else. So that kind of shoots us down there. I think job boning, cooperation with the industry is certainly an effective way of doing it. I was at a meeting in the governor's office with Ken Thompson, president of ARCO, and some other commissioners, and I think that relationship is going to prosper, and Governor Knowles' attitude, the administration's attitude toward the oil companies, I think has surprised them. Been a pleasant surprise, and I think they're going to, hopefully they'll bend over backwards to cooperate along that line. He gave me the name of his labor relations person, or human resources person, I guess they call him now, and we're going to get together in the next week or two and see, you know, talk about it. Legislatively, I don't know, you know, maybe there's a reverse. Tax credits for local hire or something along that line that would be a reverse of what we've been trying to do. But legislatively, I don't know any other magic solution for the problem. And
Commissioner, can you tell me what you perceive as the two biggest areas of concern that the department will face during the next 2 to 4 years?
Mr. Chairman, the jobs issue and the local hire issue is paramount. It not only affects us, our businesses and our communities when those people are here working and don't ship the money outside, but even after they left, I had some figures from the from our Employment Security Department that in January they sent out over $3.5 million in unemployment checks out of state. You know, it's not a tremendous item, but $3.5 million spent in January in our local economy would be a shot in the arm for a lot of our small businesses. So, and the same way with the workers' comp cases, they're run about the same. So that's our primary concern is encouraging development and jobs in Alaska, and then training people. I guess if that's the that's a big part of the problem to put Alaskans to work. And we talked about the first time I was here about when that report came out with the non-resident employment in Alaska, and compared to the people we have on welfare and the people we have on unemployment. That's I think that's our major focus. I hope to. I'm on a job subcommittee with Commissioner Hensley and mini cabinet or whatever you want to call it, and Commissioner Irwin to try to look at these problems, and I'm sure this committee is doing the same thing.
I know that when you visited with us a couple of weeks ago, one of the issues that we briefly touched upon was, in fact, the workman's compensation matter here in the state of Alaska. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to confer with your staff yet and talk about some of the problems, but do you have any suggested changes at this point that we can pursue that would have the tendency of lowering our compensation, workman's compensation rates in the state?
Mr. Chairman, I talked that over with our Director of Workers' Comp, Mr. Paul Grassi, and he gave me some interesting information on comp. Maybe I'll just share. I'd like to share a couple of highlights with you. It's a massive problem. Over 32,000 injuries a year. That just amazed me. They adjudicate disputed claims. They have 1,500 to 2,000 per year. Some of Mr. Grassi's recommendations were to review current deliveries of service and ensure compliance with mandates of applicable statutes, reestablish ties with the ad hoc committee. The ad hoc committee worked very effectively for a number of years. That was a committee made up of representatives of industry and labor that recommend workers' comp legislation. Some of his answers to some questions that were news to me was why, you know, he gets a lot of questions on why are workers' comp premiums so high and always going up. Since 1988, where they had in 1988, there was a 25% increase, a 25.1% increase in workers' comp. That just blew everybody's mind. It triggered some major legislation that addressed the problem in the 88 session. But let me read you what's happened since then. Since that 25% increase in 88, on 7/1/88, they had a 5.7% decrease. In 89, the rate was frozen. In 90, they had a 4.1% decrease. In 91, there was a 6.2% decrease. In 92, there was a 3.2% decrease. In 93, there was an 8.5% decrease. 94, we increased by 2.4%, which is less than the inflation rate. And this year, they're forecasting probably a neighborhood of a 2.6% increase. So those are dramatic decreases in the face of our astronomical medical cost increases. So I think the problem's been pretty well addressed Another thing I didn't know here, workers' comp rates are governed by the Division of Insurance and the Department of Commerce. And, of course, medical costs are the single biggest cost in the system. The legislature has attempted to hold down medical costs by establishing usual and customary reasonable fee schedules. At this time, medical payments are being paid at the 90th percentile of UCR. And then there's going to be some ramifications of the Gilmore case. The Gilmore case, Supreme Court declared parts of it were of the statute were unconstitutional as applied to Mr. Gilmore's compensation rate. So I guess the long-term solution, we're going to have a statutory change to take care of that. But it was amazing to me that that we've had those kind of decreases since 88. So probably with the exception of the some remedial legislation to correct the Gilmore case problem, I think we're on the right track. And you know, comp is an emotional and a difficult issue. It's something that the workers have to have, but also a lot of people don't realize that the other reason for comp is to get workers' comp. The workers give up their right to sue, and so I don't think we could. Most businesses, exception of the oil companies, could probably stay in business in Alaska if we didn't have workers' comp. It'd be just a chaos in the courts, litigation. So it's a system that benefits both parties, and I think works real well. Naturally, depending on whether you're the payer or the payee, you have different opinions of it. But I think basically it's a good system, and some minor tweaks to comply with the recent Supreme Court decision were probably as good a shape as we can get in. I'm a believer in ad hoc committee. None of us can be without putting lots and lots of effort and time into it can be experts on comp, and the people on that committee are experts. And when they in the past when they've made agreements between industry and labor, and come down here to the legislature. They've had some good ideas, and the legislature's by and large accepted them. So I don't know why the committee fell apart a couple of years ago. But if it can get back together, be a happy situation for all of us, because it keeps it out of the political football realm.
Additional questions? Ask them now or forever hold your peace. I just have one additional question, Commissioner, and maybe you can answer this. Maybe you can, I'm not really sure, but we'll find out. It's been reported, or at least in my understanding, the Department of Labor has experienced certain difficulties with the computer system over there right now. Can you comment on that as to where that process is as far as a contract been awarded, or are we upgrading it, or?
Yeah, they put a new system online in July, and it had some major problems, and I guess everybody was trying to keep it a secret, and the director didn't tell the commissioner, and the commissioner didn't tell the governor or the legislature, so they've had some problems, and I think they're well here. Maybe she can give you a little more intelligent update on what's happening on that, if you'd like to talk to Rebecca.
Maybe just since we have you here, very briefly.
For the record, my name is Rebecca Nansen. I'm the director of the Employment Security Division. Essentially, what happened, Chairman Cott, when I arrived my first hour on the job, I was briefed on this, and prior to my arrival, had no knowledge of the critical computer situation that was taking place at Employment Security. I walked into a situation that there was a 5-year contract, and I came in on the last 10 weeks of it. I've worked with the program managers. I've worked with Texas Instruments, who's handling their end of the contract, and we have come up with a timeline to meet our deadline, and things are looking good, and we'll meet our contractual obligations on April 12th, and we fully anticipate to have things up and running smoothly within 30 days of that time. I can go into more detail later if you'd like. It's a fairly complex question, but feel free to call the office, and we're moving in the right direction. I had a teleconference with Texas Instruments on Friday. They seem pleased with our commitment to meet our obligation, and immediately upon my arrival, I briefed the commissioner about the situation that we refer to as DB2 over there. But we're straightening it out as quickly as possible, and I feel comfortable in my dealings with Texas Instruments, and I have the full backing of the commissioner in terms of the reasonable way that we're trying to meet our deadlines on that.
As a follow-up, are the users of the system satisfied with the product that you currently have, and have they been involved in the development of that product?
Up until the last month, a limited number of the end users have been involved. I have brought people in from the front lines, so to speak, the people that process the unemployment insurance claims, et cetera, and profile clients for the employment services claims. We are going to be sending people from central office to cover their positions while they come to Juneau for training, so we do have a training schedule in place as well. To answer your question, prior to my arrival, I don't believe that there was the input that there should have been by the end users. However, we're trying to make that as workable as possible, as quickly as possible.
And just one final comment. Can you tell me in rough figures what the cost of the contract was?
You know, I can get that information for you. I don't have that at the snap of my fingers, but I'd be happy to supply that to you tomorrow. That would be fine. Would that be fine with you?
That'd be fine. You can just give it to my office. And for the record reflect that Representative Parker joined us at 3:50. Hey, Commissioner, come back up here. I don't have any additional questions. Do any of the other members of the committee have any for the commissioner? Would like to make any comments? I think, Commissioner, that there's basically two schools of thought on any appointment, and one is we should support all of the governor's appointments, I suppose, because it's his rear that's hanging. The other school of thought or theory is that we should look at the person's background, their experience, and look out for the state as a whole. What's best for the state as far as various commissioners? In your particular case, I think you meet both the qualifications or the theories. Your background is certainly very extensive in the labor field. Certainly have an enormous amount of experience in that area. I think from my perspective and opinion, I'm talking with you on a couple of occasions, you'll do extremely well in the department based on your background and I think the direction that you're going to take with the department. Any further comments by committee members? Any closing remarks? Commissioner, Representative Sanders.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I kind of want to reflect the things that the chairman just said. I've only had a couple of conversations with Commissioner Cash, and I don't know him like I do Commissioner Hensley. But the conversations I have had, I feel very encouraged that he'll do a good job and that everything will move along in the next 4 years. I certainly intend to vote for him.
Well, I think certainly, Commissioner, you've got a very well-rounded staff. We've had an opportunity to talk with a few of them. I think that really makes a commissioner. You can't do it all by yourself. I mean, it takes a lot of Indians to make the chief smoke the peace pipe from time to time.
That's the first thing I learned.
Any additional comments? Well, Commissioner, Representative Roper.
I just want to say for the record that I will be voting for and supporting the commissioner's nomination.
Representative Porter.
Since it seems to be in vogue, I apologize for being late to my own committee. Judiciary ran over. but one reason that I didn't feel compelled to run down here immediately was because I saw what was on the agenda, and I didn't have any problems with either one of them either. So let's get on with business.
Commissioner, Representative Elton.
I'll move the letter, Mr. Chair.
Okay, there is a motion to move the letter. Objections? Seeing none, the letter will be moved. And Commissioner, I want to take this opportunity to express my appreciation for you taking the time from your busy schedule to come before us, as well as to bring your staff to answer any questions. We had the opportunity. We took advantage of it, I thought, the best way that we knew how. And I certainly intend on supporting your confirmation when it comes up. So again, thank you very much, and we look forward as a committee, and I know my office and staff look forward to working with your staff on all of the issues facing the state in the labor areas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your comments and the confidence that the committee has shown me, and I'll try to do you and the people of Alaska a good job.
I'm sure you will. Thank you. Thanks to the staff who showed up. Appreciate it. Any comments from the committee members? Seeing none, then we will adjourn Labor Health Committee at 3:58.